Please rise for the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin this service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us.
And walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, O Day Full of Grace.
Thank you.
congregation may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. There are a number of announcements in the bulletin. The last two pages, there is a letter from me that it'll also be in the newsletter, but it helps to explain a lot of the actions that the council took at our last council meeting concerning all the COVID safety precautions that we have been taking here. That list may change a bit from time to time. We made changes over the course of the last year and a half with safety precautions. Many of those will be going away next Sunday, but at the same time, there will be still some things that are still in place for a while, and so as things change, we may be changing different things that we do around here as well then, too. One of the changes that we still need to make is for our Saturday service. The Saturday service has been meeting in the fellowship hall, but with easing up on some of these safety precautions, we are going to be renting out the fellowship hall once again, or there will be other activities in the fellowship hall. So that does not work for our Saturday evening worship service at this point. The chapel is a little bit too small at this point for you're trying to put 35, 40 people into a room that has 50 chairs, and that is still just a little bit tight at this point. So we will be moving the Saturday evening worship service here in the sanctuary. So that will be here, and hopefully before too long we can be back in the chapel then. Let's see. So be sure to read through all those safety precaution things that we still have in place and which ones that we are releasing. Another thing, it's mentioned also in the bulletin, is that our North American Lutheran Church will have their convocation in Corpus Christi this year. Normally, it has been out of state. We've gone to, I think, where all have we been? Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, South Carolina. I don't remember. So normally, we are out of state with this convention. This year, it is being held right here in our backyard in Corpus Christi. It's in our very own mission district. And since it's here in our very own mission district, we are asked, as a congregation of the Mission District, to help with that, to provide some volunteers who are willing to go down to Corpus for a few days. And I'm not sure what all the volunteers will be doing. Some of the jobs may be like helping with registration or helping with directions, helping to take or point out where the meeting rooms are and that sort of thing, and you will be trained. Another job may be to actually be helping with the audio-visual aspects of the thing, because it is all live-streamed as well. Let's see, what else? Maybe to help with maybe first aid or with any kind of medical issues that may arise with that many people around. So if you would like to volunteer, you can call the church office, or Dorothy Mayfield has volunteered to be our volunteer coordinator for our congregation. So you can also talk to Dorothy. Right now, both of us don't have a whole lot of information, but more information should be coming on what the jobs are and the details of being a volunteer for the National Convention. Another item is the Eucharistic Ministry. We are ready to start that back up again. The Eucharistic Ministry is a team of lay members who assist me in bringing Holy Communion to those who are homebound or institutionalized. If you would like to be a part of that team, you're welcome, again, to call the church office, call me, or to contact Bill Claverman with that as well then, too, if you would like to be one of those lay members who goes to visit other members in their homes or institutions. And on the other end of that, if you know of somebody who is homebound or who is in a nursing home that we don't know about, please contact the church office so that we can take Holy Communion to them. And let's see, I had one more thing here. next Sunday, after worship service, there will be an organizational meeting for an adult Sunday school class. So if you're interested in adult Sunday school class during the Sunday school hour, please be at the meeting, and that will be held, I think, in the chapel there in the educational building, and that is next Sunday after the worship service. If you have questions about that, you can contact the church office or contact Bill Claverman for that one. All right, does anybody else have announcements? Any other announcements this morning? Okay. If not, then I invite you to rise once again for the greeting. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent upon the disciples the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, look upon your church and open our hearts to the power of the Spirit. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our lives for service in your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is a reading from Acts chapter 2. I begin reading at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. We'll now read Psalm 104 in unison. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. There move the ships, and there is that Leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. The second lesson is a reading from Romans chapter 8. I begin reading at verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no more. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first lesson for today from the book of Acts is that story of Pentecost. And it begins that when the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. Now, if you picture that, this very well could be in the same room that Jesus and his disciples celebrated the Last Supper. And usually when we think of that room then, we think of, on this day of Pentecost, that there's only 12 people there. But more than likely, that was not the case. If you go back and read right before this, in Acts chapter 1, that there were other followers of Jesus besides just the disciples. You can think of the followers of Jesus, or what's called the apostles, as circles around Jesus. In the very center is Jesus. Jesus is always the focus. Jesus is always the center. But then around Jesus comes his most inner circle of friends. That would be Peter, James, and John. There are several stories within the Bible that talk that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, say, up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Or he took Peter, James, and John a little bit further in at the Garden of Gethsemane. There's several stories like that where he's only talking to these three, that inner circle of leadership within his disciples. And then that next circle around that would be the 12 disciples, all 12 disciples. And for the most part, they followed him day in and day out for 3 years as he went about his ministry. But then there's still yet another circle around those 12 disciples. And that was people who were there. They followed him maybe most of the time or some of the time. Maybe they kind of came and went as they were able to do so. Or maybe that was places where Jesus and the disciples would stop and stay overnight. Or they would feed Jesus, make sure that he had the things that he needed to carry on his ministry. They would maybe assist Jesus in his ministry. And these would have been people, say, like Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Jesus' brothers. There's actually a number of these that are mentioned in the New Testament. Last week we read about the replacement of Judas of Iscariot as one of the 12 disciples, and they drew lots to see who would be that other disciple. And so you had names like Barsabbas
and also Matthias. And there were other people. And actually, there's a number put to the amount of people in this outside circle. And it says there in Acts 1, right before this story that we read today, that they were gathering, these followers were gathering week to week to break bread, to pray, to worship, to come together on the Sunday mornings to celebrate that Easter event of Jesus. And the number was about 120 persons. And so Acts chapter 2 opens up here now, and it says that they were gathered together in one room, in one place. So there could have been somewhere around the neighborhood of 120 people. Think about our space here this morning. I'm guessing maybe we have maybe 70, 80 people here this morning. And so a crowd maybe a little bit larger than what we are gathered. Or think about pre-COVID days when we had 130 to 160, maybe 180 people in here. So a crowd similar to what we are used to on a Sunday morning then. Gathered together to worship, to give thanks, to give praise. And think about who was there. You can look around the room. Who is here today? We have some people in their 90s. And then we have people who are preteens and people who are all the way in between that. We have males, we have females. You probably know that we have people on the different political visions, different viewpoints. We come from different places. Our congregation represents, I think, just about every continent in the world except maybe Australia and Antarctica. We have people from all over the world, our backgrounds anyway, from all over the world, heritage from all over the world. And we gather in this one place. One of the things that strikes me here in this reading of Pentecost, of that first Pentecost, is verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Think about that scene as we think about our congregation and all of us gathered here today. Think about that sound of that rush of mighty wind. That sound moving through the room, and to see the tongues of flame coming from hovering over the heads of everyone. And all people gathered together were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages. Think about the commotion in that room and think about what your reaction would have been if you were in that room on that day. Would you immediately be silent because you would be embarrassed? You didn't want to draw attention to yourself. Or would you try to speak louder because of all the commotion in there? You knew that you had a message to say and nobody else could hear it because everybody else was speaking as well then too. Would you try to quiet your children? Because it says all people were filled with that Holy Spirit. Even the children. And I imagine in that group of 120 people, there probably were children present in that group. So would you try to shush your children at that point? Actually, I like hearing children in worship service. It's a sign that we are a healthy congregation. It's a sign that there is hope and a future for this congregation. What would you do with that? If you were given that gift immediately, that you were given a gift of languages, a gift of going out and speaking a message, and you were given the message to be able to speak. That Holy Spirit is still alive here today. In our baptisms, we were blessed with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit came into our lives. The Holy Spirit is present in this place today. It's here. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you through this worship service, through the songs, through the prayers, through the hymns, through the words. You are there on Pentecost. We are right here on this day of Pentecost, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have been given a message to go and proclaim to someone or to many people. I don't know what that message is that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And that message that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it may be a loud shout that he's saying, that you can hear it as a loud shout or as a rush of mighty wind, that it's that strong. Or maybe it's a simple call. Or maybe it's just a voice that you hear. Or maybe it's a sigh, too deep for words. But you are filled with that Holy Spirit. And you have been given a message. And you have been given a way to proclaim that message. Just as these disciples were given a way to be able to speak to people that they don't even speak their language. But now they're able to speak that language. You know the language of the people that you see every day. You know the language of your family. You know the language of your workplace. You know the language of your school. You know the language of when you go shopping or when you meet a stranger. You know that language. And you are able to speak the message because the Holy Spirit has filled you. What happens when we neglect the Spirit? What happens when we say, I'm not going to do this? Think about the people who need to hear that message because God is connecting you with somebody else. Think about that lonely person who now will not have a visit. Think about the person who is depressed, who will not have their spirits raised up. Think about the people who need groceries that you're not there to help carry a bag of groceries to them or working at Yam. God has given us a message to go out and proclaim. Here on this first day of Pentecost, when these 120 people or so received that Holy Spirit, they did go out and they started to cause a commotion. People were saying, what's going on here? Aren't these all Galileans and they're speaking in the languages we can understand? They knew something amazing was happening at that time. Some people just sneered at it and said, oh, they're just drunk, they're gibbering. But no, people actually heard that message. Because at the conclusion of this day, by the end of the day, there were 3,000 people who were baptized. Think about a group this size. Think about this group this size. And next Sunday we all come back and there's 3,000 people here ready to be baptized. The Holy Spirit works through us. He has given each and every one of us a message, just as he has personally called each and every one of you his child, as he personally looks over you, as he personally knows what's going on in your life, as he personally forgives you and welcomes you into his family. We are filled with that Holy Spirit. We have a message to proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. We sing the hymn, O Zion, Haste.
Please rise for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray for the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Gracious God, renew your church. Fill it with boldness in witnessing to Jesus. Fill it with faithfulness in proclaiming his word and celebrating his sacraments. Fill it with zeal for ministering to all people in his name, especially to the least of those whom he calls sisters and brothers. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the faith of your persecuted church. Give it grace to endure suffering for Jesus' sake, and grant that its faithful witness may cause many to turn to Christ and live. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the people and the ministry of this congregation. Fill us with joyfulness in worship, eagerness in service, gentleness in fellowship, generosity in giving, and persistence in faithful witness in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the minds of worldly leaders. Fill their hearts with wisdom and humility as they wield power and authority. Fill the spirit of the world's citizens with love for God, neighbor, and the world around them. Fill creation with fruitfulness and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the minds and direct the actions of all who protect life, health, justice, and freedom. Strengthen and protect them. Bless all they do that is in accordance with your will. Bring them safely home when their task is done. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the hope, faith, and health of all whose need is great. Fill them with the comfort of your presence and lead them into the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for Clark Kerlick, Polly Hancock, O.F. and Sue Bolting, Claiborne Bailey, Alvin Stanchos, Lori Nelson Stinger, Leslie Waymeyer, Kay Claverman, Tony Metting, David Metting, and James Metting. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, those who have died in you raise their eternal song of praise. We give you thanks for the many gifts of your people and rejoice in the witness of your saints. In the hope of new life, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Thank you. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we may continue to share in one divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
and
thanks, always praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Please rise.
Amen.
Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn is Earth and All Stars. We sing verses 1 and 2 and then 5 and 6. 1, 2, 5, 6.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks.